Proverbs 27, verses 5 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend or your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. Father, we pray this morning that you would use your word in print to connect us to the word of God in person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Continuing our study in the book of Proverbs, if you've been with us, you'll remember the first five Sundays we spent time unpacking the first major section of Proverbs, which is chapters 1 through 9. And that provides the essential interpretive framework for chapters 10 through 31. If you don't get 1 through 9, chapters 10 through 31 will be of no value to you. Chapters 1 through 9, you'll remember, bottom line was a call to choose to travel the path of life over the path of death. It was a call to choose to enter into an intimate relationship with Lady Wisdom rather than Lady Folly. And as we unpacked that in light of the New Testament, we see it is a call, chapters 1 through 9, to enter into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the New Testament presents as God's wisdom incarnate in flesh and blood. And so the Father knows in chapters 1 through 9, the Bible informs us from cover to cover that without a personal relationship with the wisdom of God, these practical, pithy little sayings will do you next to no good in chapters 10 through 31. So keeping that framework in mind, keeping that interpretive framework in mind, the deeply theological and Christological nature of chapters 10 through 31, we proceed into these Proverbs. And our approach is to read through, because they are overwhelming both in the number of life categories that they address and somewhat overwhelming because they just seem to be so randomly scattered. Our approach at reading 10 through 31 is to read through the book of Proverbs, pinpoint relevant verses, group them together into categories. This is such a Western approach, right? This is just not how it was written, but that's okay. They would have committed this to memory and could have recalled these from, you know, in any place. It didn't have to be in order. But I think for us, it's helpful. This is just how we think. Organize them into categories and then study them together in groups. So today we're looking at friendship. What does the book of Proverbs have to say? What does God's wisdom have to say about friendship? And as you group the Proverbs dealing with friendship, broad categories begin to emerge, themes begin to emerge. And again, we don't want this to turn into the how-tos. We don't want to turn this into moralism. We want to see in the light of the New Testament how Jesus is the perfect friend as part of his redemptive work on our behalf. These Proverbs organically will lead us to wisdom incarnate in the New Testament. So let's see what Proverbs has to say about friendship, and then let's see how Jesus functions as the perfect friend as part of his redemptive work on our behalf. Now, deep, true friendship is something that is universally valued. I think just about everybody would agree with that statement. It is one of the greatest blessings in life, and there's a reason for that, the Bible tells us. The reason friendships, deep, true friendships, are so treasured by human beings is because we are made in the image of God, And the Bible clearly presents God as existing from all eternity in the perfect triune friendship. God himself, by nature, exists in perfect relationship and friendship, and we are created in his image. Therefore, we are created craving the experience of deep, true friendship. Few things are more rewarding than that in life, and so not surprisingly, Proverbs has a lot to say about broad, deep, godly friendships and their importance to human thriving. Now, just like with money last week, when you start to look at the Proverbs dealing with friendship and you start to have themes emerge, there are a lot of themes that could be covered. This is another category that is so widespread in Proverbs. I'm sure we could do half a dozen sermons just on the topic of friendship. But this morning, I want to focus on three key factors that I think rise to the top as you group Proverbs regarding friendship. Three key factors that are central to deep, godly friendships, and they are counsel, correction, and comfort. Counsel, correction, and comfort. And let me give you a proverb to illustrate each one. First, a friend. I'm talking about a true, godly friend provides earnest counsel. Look at our passage this morning, chapter 27, verse 9. This is a wonderful example of a whole host of proverbs that point this out. Verse 9 says, chapter 27, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Now, as you know, especially those of you who have some years, life seems like a never-ending series of major decisions that have to be made. I don't believe that ever ceases to be the case. Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? Where am I going to work? When is it right to leave this job and go to another one? Should I rent or should I buy? Not to mention a whole host of smaller but still important decisions that are significant in our lives. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." So ask yourself a question this morning. Do you want more of your plans to succeed? Do you want in this life more of your decisions to succeed? Not all. I mean, we want them all. Proverbs doesn't promise that. Remember, by definition, Proverbs are generally applicable. They're not ironclad promises in every single case. But just generally ask yourself, do you want an increased number of your decisions and your plans to succeed rather than fail? Proverbs 27:9 advises you, seek earnest counsel. Have friends around you that will give you that selfless, sincere guidance, knowing that they have your best interest at heart. That kind of counsel that is thoughtful, that kind of counsel that is wise, the kind of counsel that is keeping in line with Scripture, the kind of counsel that is shared after appropriate reflection and prayer and with a genuine concern for your best interest. When you find a friend that will offer counsel like that, you have something that is so valuable. Proverbs 27:9 says it is like oil and perfume. It is like some of the most precious things known in the ancient world. and you will find yourself making wiser and more successful decisions. Notice what this verse does not say. It does not say that one of the sweetest things of friendship is finding someone to mirror you back in a mutual admiration society. That's not what friendship is all about. That's part of friendship, of course. You need somebody that will build you up and admire you from time to time. We all need a little boost. But that's not the sweetness. That's not the sweet spot of genuine, deep, godly friendship. Genuine, deep, godly friendship includes counsel that will point out where you might be thinking wrongly about something. We need friends who will look at our lives and have the love and the heart to say, you haven't thought about this. Or maybe you're not thinking about this quite enough or giving it quite the importance that you should in the process of making this decision. I think that's one of the greatest strengths of Presbyterian polity. If you know me, y'all know I am not a committee meeting person by nature. Some people are wired for that. I'm not. I preach for free. I get paid for the committee meetings. That's kind of how I work it out in my mind. That being said, I deeply appreciate the by design nature of Presbyterian polity, that when the brothers get together for a session meeting and when the brothers get together for a diaconate meeting, genuine back and forth counsel and discussion and deliberation, you can sense. I can't tell you how many times, despite my less than love for committee meetings, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a session meeting, in a diaconate meeting, and you just can sense that the Holy Spirit is working through these very channels that Proverbs describes when you have men of God's word there earnestly with the best interest of the decisions of the church in mind, and they're bouncing things off and working through things. True friends offer counsel, and when it's wisely given and it's humbly received, humbly deliberated, humbly put into the pot and stirred, the book of Proverbs repeatedly tells us you will discover it is one of the sweetest elements of godly friendships. A second major factor that is central to deep godly friendships is correction. Look at verse 6 in our passage. 5 and 6, they go together. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. The writer of Proverbs here is talking about correction. Now, correction is very similar to counsel. Counsel and correction are both about speaking the truth in love. But there is a significant difference. Counsel helps to keep us from heading down the wrong path when we are at a fork and we have a decision to make. Counsel helps us prevent starting down that path. But correction comes when you've already started down that wrong path and you need to make something good out of something that has already gone bad. That's a different scenario. That's a different situation. In other words, the goal of counsel is preventative. The goal of counsel is to prevent a bad decision. The goal of correction is to change something that needs to be changed because you've already started down that bad path. Verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I love this proverb just with such brevity. It contrasts a true friend and a false friend. It contrasts a true friend and an enemy. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. It contrasts a worldview and a motivation that are behind these two correctors. A true godly friend, and you see so many Proverbs that point this out, a true godly friend is able to look at your life with a biblical worldview, through the lens of Scripture, and if you are on the wrong path, a true friend will be able to see that. And when a true friend sees you heading down the wrong path, they can only respond in one way, if they're a true friend. And it's no excuses, it's no cover-ups, it's no compromises. The proverb says a true friend, if he sees you heading down the wrong path, will respond with wounds. Wounds in the form of verbal correction or even a rebuke, he says, verse 5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Hidden love is no good. An open rebuke, a wound properly applied, wounds, even a rebuke. It's like setting a bone. It may hurt, but the sooner you set it, the less it will hurt in the long run. That's what he's getting at here. Careful wounds in the form of words, humbly administered in love by a friend, is the essence of true godly friendship. We need friends that will do that for us. But look at the enemy, end of verse 6. The enemy, the so-called friend, young folks, know the difference, learn the distinction. At least start to put in your mind there is a distinction between true friends and so-called friends who are actually enemies, working to undermine you on the path of life in the pursuit of Lady Wisdom, operating from a false, man-centered worldview, not a biblical worldview, but from worldly wisdom. They will only encourage you down the wrong path. Instead of corrections, what do they give? Verse 6. Kisses. Kisses. Seductive encouragements. Seductive enticements. Attaboys. When you are engaged in sin and unbiblical behavior, flattering compliments when you are heading down the wrong path. That's what an enemy does. A frenemy. Enticements to do evil. There is so much in Proverbs about the dangers of the enticements to do evil. Multiple studies have been done in recent years that bottom line say you will become like the five people closest to you in life. It's just a fact. That's an observation of human nature. You will become like the five closest people to you in life. So that presses the question, who do I want to become? Young folks, that is a wonderful, any age, but young folks, this is the time to ask that question. Who do I want to become? The five closest friends that you have, that is who you will become like. Period. Cut your foolish friends. Life is too short to have foolish friends. Life is too short to have poisonous friends. Life is too short to have negative, immoral influences. Life is too short. Cut, folks, who say they're your friend, but they have a toxic effect on your life. You know who those are. If you don't seek godly counsel, ask your parents. They'll help you sort it out. Who you let into your life, and especially who you let into that five closest friend, inner circle is of such vital importance. We can't pick our families. But you better believe you can pick your friends. Pick five who will offer biblical counsel. Pick five who will offer biblical correction. Don't leave it up to chance. You can be the architect of your environment and who you become simply by the five closest friends you pick. And the flip side, the others that you distance yourself from. It is so important. And the Proverbs repeatedly emphasize that. And if you do so, I promise you two things. You will grow in wisdom in life, and you will avoid a whole lot of unnecessary trouble. You won't avoid all trouble, but you'll avoid a lot of unnecessary trouble. Proverbs affirms that over and over again. So when I'm trying to make a decision, Proverbs tells us over and over, true friends offer wise counsel. And if you consider it, you will do well. When I'm on the wrong path, Proverbs tells us repeatedly, a true friend will offer firm, loving correction. And let me give you a third thing that rises up over and over as you read through the Proverbs in chapters 10 through 31. Turn with me to chapter 17. This is something that a friend will do under all circumstances. Proverbs 17:17. A true godly friend will offer counsel. A true godly friend will offer correction. Proverbs 17:17. But whatever the circumstances, a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. No matter how low you are, no matter how out of chips you are, bottom of the barrel, no matter how adverse life's circumstances are, a friend offers love. A friend offers comfort. During the worst times of adversity, during even the worst choices that have been made, those who faithfully remain by your side to offer comfort are friends in the truest and most biblical sense of the word. I love this picture. Verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, for your adversity. That means one of the most important factors of a true, deep, godly friendship is you have a brother, you have a sister, as if they were born for the purpose of comforting in you in your adversity. Isn't that a beautiful picture of friendship? No wonder Proverbs puts such a high value on that type of friendship. We all need friends like that. We can all think of times in life when we just could not have made it without a friend like that. I certainly can. Proverbs teaches us that godly friends are gifts of God's grace, one of the greatest gifts in life. But we don't want to stop there. Because what we learn as we move into the New Testament is that the friendships of this world point us to the greatest need of the human heart. And that is a friendship with someone outside of this world. That is a friendship with the supernatural. That is a friendship with someone who transcends this world. What we need, in addition to our earthly friendships, but our earthly friendships only point to this. What we need, what I need, what you need, Your greatest need is a friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we move into the New Testament, we see that Jesus brings all the blessings of friendship that are described in the Proverbs, and he brings them in the most perfect, the most complete sense, the most perfect form. He is the friend who provides perfect counsel. Your friends in this world will provide, godly friends will provide good counsel. More often than not, it might be right, but it's not infallible counsel, and it won't always be right, and you don't always have to take it. And a multitude of counselors is one correction to that, but Jesus provides perfect counsel in his word. Jesus provides perfect correction in his word. And Jesus provides perfect love, perfect comfort, because he sent the Comforter, with a capital C, who dwells in you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is described as a friend who sticks with us at all times. He will never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. He is the friend who is with you to the very end of the age, Matthew 28:20. He is the embodiment of the wisdom of Proverbs regarding friendship. But I think he reveals himself as the archetype of friendship when we turn to John chapter 15. Turn with me there in closing. John chapter 15. Let me share with you a picture of wisdom incarnate when it comes to friendship as described in the book of Proverbs. John chapter 15, verse 12. Maundy Thursday. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus is the best, the greatest, the surest, the wisest, the most faithful friend. And cultivating your friendships with godly friends should lead you to cultivate your friendship with Jesus Christ. And that is the wisest decision a human being can ever possibly make. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom contained in your word. We thank you for your wisdom contained in your word incarnate. Lord, draw us into a closer and closer friendship with you through your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.